Welcome back to the Gospel Fantasy Football Show. If you guys are listening to this, it means one or two things. It means that you're still in the playoffs and you want to go ahead and tie a nice little bow around the season by getting that championship, or you're a fantasy football fiend like myself, and it doesn't even matter if you're still in the playoffs. You're already trying to get ahead of next year or get a little bit ahead of the dynasty fantasy turnabout that's going to be happening here in the next couple of weeks. Regardless of the case, we're here for it and we're here for you. I am your host, Zay, the fantasy football fiend himself. I got my guy, Young Vander, the fantasy Nostradamus. Holla at the people, my guy.
Hey, what's going on out there?
All right, so you guys remember, you can catch us on YouTube at The Gospel STP. Again, that's at The Gospel STP. If you have not followed us on Facebook yet, make sure you hit up that group. After this week, that is where you're going to be able to get your direct questions to us about your championship. We will not be on the air next week. We have Christmas Eve, Christmas, and the day after Christmas, which is the day that we normally record the shows. We are going to be spending time with our families just as you are, but we will not leave you hanging. We have guided you through thus far, and we'll make sure we get you home. Just hit us up on the Facebook group. And again, that's the Gospel Sports Truth Facebook group. You'll see the same emblem that you see there as far as the podcast is concerned. So make sure you reach out and we will answer any questions that you post there. Let's go right ahead and hop into it. A little bit of news notes and just kind of give you a little bit of bearings of who may go, who may not go. We're at the point of the season now where some teams have solidified their standings and they may have some people sit. We have some people that may be going just because of their current record and they kind of want to give it that old college try to get into the playoffs. But Geno Smith, let's start off with our quarterbacks. Geno Smith, full practice today, so it looks like he will be able to go this week for his squad. It will not be another Sam Howell showing that you got at the end of last week. So those of you that have been riding with Geno, he should be your guy this week. Tua Tagovailoa, limited practice on Wednesday, dealing with a hip injury. I don't foresee him not playing, but I also don't know if it will matter. So, yeah, Baker Mayfield tending to a knee injury. Now, he didn't practice on Wednesday. No word on whether or not this knee injury is going to be something that may keep him out for the week, but monitor that situation as the week goes on, because for a lot of you, that game on Sunday out there against Dallas is going to be a make or break as far as Baker is concerned. If you have him, you've probably been leaning on him. He's been one of the better fantasy quarterbacks on the year. Aiden O'Connell back from his knee injury. Looks like he's going to be able to go on this coming week. Don't know that's going to do much for you in fantasy, but if you're in one of those two QB leagues and you kind of got to throw a warm body out there, he will be available to you. Justin Herbert, no injury designation. He should be able to go this week. Joe Burrow listed as a limited participant. Wrist and knee, he should be good to go for the week. Patrick Mahomes, this one was a little bit touch and go there for a moment. He was listed as a full participant in practice again on Wednesday. He was a full participant on Tuesday. He was dealing with that high ankle sprain. And normally when you hear high ankle sprain, that's a guaranteed few weeks out. We saw last year, though, when Trevor Lawrence had the high ankle sprain from the quarterback position, now he was still able to go. And they don't have to quite do the same thing that the running backs and wide receivers have to do. Drew Lock is going to be set to go for this week. He's the Giants quarterback yet again. Not exactly sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing, if you're depending on him, or if it's possibly a good thing if you will be depending on the defense that will be going up against the Giants. So we'll kind of have to see how that piece goes. Will Levis has been benched in favor of Mason Rudolph. I mean, at this point, I don't exactly know if that matters. It's not like that change is going to make a difference in the season. The other benching is Kirk Cousins, and you have Michael Penix Jr. coming in. The Falcons are still in the range of possibly making it to the playoffs if they can catch up to Tampa Bay, who was only one game ahead. What's your thoughts as far as Michael Penix is concerned? Do you feel like it was the right move at the right time? Do you feel like it was a panic move and now you're kind of putting all the onus on a rookie to go out and be great off top? And that's kind of a little bit more pressure than the other rookies had. What's your outlook on this whole Atlanta situation?
Well, I mean, I think two things. I think it was a panic move in a way, but it also maybe was the right move. I didn't think Cousins signing to Atlanta was the right move, if you could take it all the way back. But I think this guy probably gives them the best opportunity to win. I think in the last 5 weeks, we've seen our Cousins throw like one touchdown, 9 interceptions or something like that. So it's pretty bad. I think this move actually also unlocks the skill guys. I think we may see some better Drake London, some better Mooney, and definitely what people have been asking for, some better Kyle Pitts. So if you're in the DFS, these are some of the guys I may be leaning on, maybe unlocking with a guy like Penix at the helm. So he's going to sling it around. I think like going down the stretch of the playoffs, man, you may get what you thought you was going to get in the beginning of the season when it comes to guys like London and Pitts.
Do you feel like you can depend on Penix himself?
Yeah, I would play him. I mean, if in a 2-quarterback league, for sure, you know, super flex league, I'll feel confident playing him. Is you confident playing Kirk Cousins? When will you be confident playing him? I mean, he's not really going to run that much, but he can. So, but yeah, with this offense and these weapons, I'm definitely confident playing him for sure. I'm more confident playing Penix than I'm playing like a Drew Lock. Or, you know, one of these, or Mason Rudolph, or Aiden O'Connell.
So what about a Russell Wilson?
Yeah, I'll
probably. Or Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers actually been playing pretty good as of late, to be honest with you. Look at the last, it looked like him and Devonta are back in the mold now. If you look at the last 2 or 3 weeks, they were kicking up a good bit of dust as a tandem. So I don't know about Aaron Rodgers.
Okay. Moving on over to running back, Zach Charbonnet tending to an oblique issue. Same team, Kenneth Walker III still not practicing, dealing with a calf issue. So monitor that situation. Bucky Irvin limited on Wednesday, dealing with back and hip issues. Isaiah Davis limited by a back issue. Braylon Allen opens the week limited in practice with the back issue. A lot of back issues going on right now. Clyde Edwards-Helaire was cut by Kansas City, picked up by the Saints, and he is now on their practice squad. Man, I know hindsight is 2020, but can you imagine if Kansas City had drafted Jonathan Taylor instead of Clyde Edwards-Helaire, how much even further that dynasty could possibly be right now? And definitely, as far as fantasy is concerned, JT and Mahomes on the same team, that would just be crazy. I don't know if it would. For fantasy purposes, if it would have kind of canceled both out a little bit, or it would just be one of those, hey, start. Well, it definitely would have been one of those start them if you got them, but I don't know. We'll have to see if Taylor is still going to be in Indy going forward, because they did pay him, but I don't know that they're in a position where a running back of his ilk and age makes sense for where that team currently is. So we'll have to see how that goes in the offseason, all that kind of good stuff. Trey Benson missed practice Wednesday due to an ankle. Joe Mixon dealing with an ankle. He was limited, but he should be good to go. Jaleel McLaughlin won't play on Thursday. He has a quad injury. It's always been predetermined that he will not be playing on Thursday when the Denver Broncos go up against the Chargers. So how does that make you feel as far as Williams is concerned, or as far as they had a little bit of a tribe going in that backfield, but with McLaughlin being out definitively, how do you feel about the rest of that backfield going up against the Chargers?
The Chargers is really good against the run, so I'm not going to be in love with any of these guys, but I mean, if you had to play one of them, I'd probably go with Williams out of the two. He'd probably get the biggest share in that backfield. So it feels good to now have it broken down to two guys instead of three. But this isn't an ideal matchup that you're looking for. So
William or Taylor if Garrido from 49ers don't go?
I would go with Taylor.
Okay.
Yeah. Easy.
Tony Pollard held out of practice, dealing with an ankle injury. Did not practice on Wednesday. We don't know if he's going to go this week. Tajay Spears definitely benefited on last week from getting the load there in Tennessee. Tyrone Tracy Jr. dealing with an ankle issue. So we'll have to monitor that situation there out there in Giants land. Garrido, Isaac Garrido, San Fran, he's sidelined with a hamstring injury. He won't be practicing on Wednesday, but we don't know what his status may be for Sunday. If he doesn't practice for the week, but he's a game time decision on Sunday, do you roll with him or do you pivot?
It depends on what my options are, but
well, true.
If he's in there, then I'm gonna play him like I would. I mean, I understand practice, but I mean if he's active, ready to go, I'm gonna play him.
David Montgomery is now seeking a third opinion on his injury, the knee injury that he suffered. It doesn't look like he may be back for the season. Now, my question in this situation is, you know, we had the tails and knuckles pairing going on there in Detroit. Does Montgomery being out actually help Jared Goff and help Jahmyr Gibbs, being that there's not that third person there to kind of bolster their touchdowns? It kind of fit, and not only that, but with Gibbs, sometimes a lot of the work that he may get is after catching the ball out of the backfield. So can this possibly put Jared Goff in a position to be a fantasy playoff darling because the TD vulture is not going to be there?
I don't think it affects Goff either way. But I think as far as Gibbs, though, he's to the moon at this point. He's probably going to be the number one back going down the stretch, in all honesty. So Now he's about to really see what this guy's made of. A lot of people in certain circles think he's the best running back in football, I've heard. So we're really about to see now because it's all for him. But I think he's to the moon at this point. I don't think Goff, whether he's in or out, doesn't really affect him as well. I mean, at all. So
Nick Chubb moves to IR again. He's out for the season. He had a foot injury that he suffered after coming back from that knee injury from the previous year. Is it time for Chubb to wrap it up, or is he already going to be one of the biggest values in fantasy going into next year because the foot injury isn't nearly as severe as the knee injuries, but people are going to just kind of remember the season that he had this year, which is going to allow you to get who could prove to be a number one running back in the, I'm thinking at this point, we may see him not go into the fourth, fifth round based on where he went this year and having the injuries throughout the year. What's your prognosis on that?
I think he need to hang it up. Whether he does it or not is one thing, but I think he does in the offseason does get let go by the Browns. And then you may see a team like a Cowboys or maybe even a Kansas City Chiefs, one of these teams that, you know, it doesn't really make or break their team up if he produces or not. I mean, it's more of a lottery and a benefit if he does. So I think you may see something like that nature. But as far as the workload, bell cow, Chubb, the path, I think those days are behind us.
I'm going to be honest with you, man. That's one of those players, based on the Patriots having the most cap space in the league going into next year and already having the OC who kind of brought about Chubb's best performances, if you will. I wouldn't mind Chubb pairing up with Stevenson. Both were kind of often hurt when they're used too much. But together, that can be a fascinating situation for the offense. And then we figure out a way to go about getting the number one overall receiver. I think we really do kind of already have our quarterback of the future with Drake May. We just need the pieces around him to kind of, you know, rise up just a little bit and then kind of go from there. But with where the Patriots should be drafting, I don't imagine not being able to put a few pieces in place that'll kind of put them over the next year or two back in playoff position. I'm kind of have to go from there, but I do like where we're ending and what we've shown throughout the year. Kind of have to see how that goes. Sterling Shepard still working through a foot injury, moving on over to wide receivers here. Tyreek Hill sits out of Wednesday's practice, still dealing with that wrist injury. Man, like Tyreek Hill, other than probably CMC, or they may be pretty close. They've been pretty disappointing this year. Obviously, with CMC, it's been due to injury, but Hill has had those games where, you know, he'll win you a week, and then the next week he'll be personally responsible for losing you the week. So, like, what's your overall opinion this year on Tyreek Hill, and what's your level of confidence in the playoffs these next couple weeks?
My opinion, Tyreek Hill is the worst pick, the worst first round pick we had this year.
Why do you rank him over CMC?
Because CMC wasn't a first round pick in some leagues, in most leagues, because he came in injured. He didn't start the season off, so it's a little bit different. Tyreek came in healthy. CMC was already known. You knew what you was getting yourself into. So he didn't go in the first round in a lot of leagues, but Tyreek did. So I think he's the worst draft pick we've seen this year. Maybe, I mean, I think with Waddle being injured, maybe he'll get, you know, peppered with targets. But it just seems something is missing in this past season. So I don't know.
CD Lamb limited with a shoulder injury. Jacoby Myers limited with an ankle. Cedric Tillman practices, but is still in concussion protocol from a few weeks ago. Rashad Bateman added to the injury report, dealing with a foot injury. Michael Pittman Jr. missed Wednesday's practice with a back injury, same back injury that he's been dealing with. T. Higgins limited in practice, dealing with a knee injury. Xavier Leggett from Carolina dealing with a hip injury. Nick Westbrook Ikine dealing with an ankle injury. Tyler Boyd didn't practice, dealing with a foot injury. George Pickens listed as a non-participant again, still dealing with that hamstring injury. Do we feel like Pittsburgh may be in a bit of a quagmire if George Pickens isn't at 100% going into, you know, the tail part of the tail end of the year? They're going to have some pretty big games coming up, especially the one going up against Baltimore, who they're currently only one game ahead of. That game can kind of determine that division. They're going to get to the playoffs regardless, but it'll determine whether or not they'll have home field advantage playing in Pittsburgh, or if they're going to be a wild card team. So do we think that Pittsburgh can keep trucking along and doing what they do regardless of whether Pickens is there or not? Or is Pickens kind of on the offense as far as pass catches are concerned? He's kind of the straw that stirs the Kool-Aid, and without him, they're going to kind of be in a bit of a situation. How are you feeling about Pitt?
No, I think they can win without him. If you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, they're the type of team that win in spite of. So their guys on offense don't have to be explosive or do extremely well for them to win games. They find a way to win with their defense, running the ball, and things of that nature. So, no, I don't think Pickens is – I mean, of course, they're a better team with him on the field, but
right,
they can win without him. I mean, look at most of the games they won this year. Pickens wasn't out there getting 150 yards receiving, two touchdowns. That's what those type of games. So, yeah, I don't think – he makes or break this team as far as winning is concerned. He helps, but he's not. You know, yeah.
Moving on over to tight ends before we hop into rapid fire 10. There's a couple of tight ends to speak of here going into this weekend. Kate Otten, he's dealing with the knee injury. He was a fantasy darling there for a few weeks there in Tampa Bay when they were going through their injury woes. He was peppered with targets by Baker Mayfield. He is currently dealing with a knee injury. It isn't stated the likelihood of him playing this week, but you should be able to depend on him this week. We'll see how that goes. Hayden Hurst, a questionable even after full practices, still dealing with a hip injury there in Los Angeles with the Chargers there. Will Disley won't be playing Will 16. That has already been determined. Dealing with a shoulder injury. Zach Ertz didn't practice on Wednesday. He has a concussion. He's another one of those guys who he's kind of an oldie but giddy. Fantasy players that have been playing for a while. Remember when he was putting up points with Philly, and he's been an unexpected, consistent tight end this year as far as leaning on Jaden Daniels there with Washington. So we'll kind of have to see how that goes. It's been touch and go with players this year. When a player gets a concussion, it was normally, okay, he'll be fine for next week. He was just out of the game. Players have been missing weeks in some cases. So you're definitely going to have to monitor that if you've been depending on Zach Ertz. David Njoku still not practicing, dealing with a hamstring. Evan Engram had to get shoulder surgery. So, again, that's one of the guys that I always say I try to stay away from, because as soon as you attempt to depend on him, he goes and gets injured. So, you know, that's that. But that pretty much wraps it up for the tight ends. Is there anybody else? Yeah, that pretty much wraps it up for the tight end. So let's go ahead and hop into Rapid Fire 10. Help you out with those start and sit questions.
All right, man. Let's get right into it. Do we go with Bo Nix or Caleb Williams?
I'm rolling with Bo Nix. Yeah, Caleb Williams has not had the best string of weeks here as of late. He did pretty decent week before last, put up some points, but that was more of a happenstance if you watch that game. So, yeah, let me get Bo Nix.
We got Michael Penix Jr. or Aaron Rodgers.
Give me the Wiley old vet. I don't know what we're going to get out of Michael Penix Jr. And let's remember, this is his first game. This is the NFL. Most rookies don't do all that great first time out, and most coaches tend to do pretty well against a rookie their first time out. So, you know, wishing them the best, hoping the best, but give me the Wiley old vet in this situation.
Okay, we have Michael Penix Jr. again, or Bryce Young.
I think I will go with Penix in this situation. We have two QBs that we don't know enough about, and at least I like the weapons in Atlanta a little bit more.
Okay. We got Tyrone Tracy or Jerome Ford.
Well, Ford is back to being the only guy in the backfield, essentially. So I think I'm going to roll with Ford, actually.
We got Isaac Garendo or Rico Dowdle.
Rico's done his thing the last few weeks. He's put up over 100 yards from scrimmage. But if Garendo is able to go this week, I just like the 49ers run game in and of itself better, regardless of the name of the person who happens to be the starter. So that's how I'm looking at that one.
Sorry, we got Darnell Moody or Calvin Ridley.
See, this is interesting in the fact that we don't know the relationship that Penix and Mooney are going to have. Is it going to be the same or similar to what him and Cousins had, where he was being used strategically and consistently? I don't like Tennessee's offense in general. Mason, I guess I'm a roll with Mooney.
We got Marvin Harrison Jr. or Jalen McMillan.
Give me Marvin Harrison Jr. Yeah. That one's a little bit easier for me.
All right. We got Stone Smart or Britton Strange.
Give me Strange. Tight end for the Jaguars over the tight end for the Chargers, right?
Yep.
What I'm saying? Yeah. And then Hurst was possibly coming back as well. We'll have to see how he fits back in. But give me Strange.
We got Jaden Reed or Jaylen Warren.
Reed is capable of winning a week for you when he puts up the numbers necessary to do so. Warren hasn't done much of anything this year. Give me the guy that has the higher ceiling.
And last but not least, we got Tajay Spears or Travis Etienne.
Are we rolling with the mindset that Tony Pollard will or won't be available this week?
I don't know. I know he left the game last week, but I haven't heard much about him practicing this week.
He hasn't practiced as of yet. What I will say, I'll put it this way. I would roll with ETN if Tony Pollard is going to play.
Yeah.
I like the split that ETN will get over what Spears will get if both of them are running in a committee this week. Does that make sense?
No, I agree.
Yeah, that's kind of where I am with that.
So that concludes our rapid fire 10.
Rapid fire 10. All right. So we have a few questions in the mailbag here that we want to get through. Make sure we help you guys get into those gospel championships. Am I crazy for considering starting the Vikings defense over the Broncos defense? So this is a defensive start sit. Are we starting the Vikings over the Broncos or the Broncos over the Vikings?
I actually like the Vikings defense. No,
I do too. Yeah.
I mean, especially when I thought Sam Howell was going to be a starter, but with a Geno Smith maybe not being as mobile.
Yeah.
I could definitely see old boy dialing it up. So, yeah, I like the Vikings defense.
Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson? That's a pretty good problem to have. But
you got to go Josh. At this point, I mean, he's dude's on fire. So, I mean, I would ride the wave right now. This dude is throwing, running, and even receiving touchdowns every week now. So, I would have to stay in the fight with Josh Allen right now. He's playing MVP ball. Well, they both are, but I'm going with Josh.
All right, this is a little bit of a longer question. I've got a dilemma. I'm in the championship semifinals. The team I'm playing against has Josh Allen with a great matchup against New England, and is projected to win by 62%. I have Jaden Daniels with a brutal matchup against Philly. Daniels scored 14.5 points in my league back in week 11 against Philly. Yeah. That won't cut it for me this week. I also have Matthew Stafford and Aaron Rodgers available. Who do I start? Daniels, Stafford, or Rodgers?
You stay in the fire and go with what got you there. Because the one thing, I think Rodgers is playing the best ball right now. I mean, well, he's playing good ball right now. But you still have to consider Jaden Daniels running in any given time. Like he could have, 50, 60 yards rushing and a touchdown. That's already 12 points. You know, not even counting anything to do with his arm at all. So being that he runs the ball at the clip he runs it, and the possibility may be some goal line power ahead, touchdown, things of that nature, I still got to stay in the fight with a guy like Jaden Daniels. Even though I like those other guys' matchups better, that running ability still trumps the matchup.
Agreed. Let's see here. I'm going to ask this one just because it was put out there. But I'm going to say that you've kind of screwed the pooch on this one. It says, what rules have you guys implemented for guys that haven't paid yet? You way behind the power curve on this one, buddy.
Yeah, that's crazy. Season's over now.
Anybody that's in the running to win will probably pay. I would actually forfeit the ability to win money if you have not paid yet and you're in the playoffs, because it feels like you're just trying to wait around to see if you're going to win. And if you do, then you'll pay in exchange for the larger amount of money that you're going to get in return versus paying up front and being honest about the whole situation. But yeah, I would tackle that week one, before week one, actually.
Yeah, you pretty, I mean, you're at the end now. I mean, so that's crazy.
What I will say is, because the situation is where it is right now, what I would do in your league is I would make it as such that everyone continues to play, because what you don't want to do is have people that haven't played. Because obviously, if you're asking this question today, the person that you're asking about is actually in the playoffs, so you wouldn't be asking this question. I would make it known that if you have not paid yet, you may win the championship, but you don't win the pot. Whoever is paid already, those are the only people that are in the running for the money. You may be in the running for the, you know, the pat on the back saying, hey, you won. I wouldn't even give that person a trophy if they win the championship. Like if you have any type of a reward or anything like that other than the money, you don't get anything other than the knowledge of knowing that you won and now you get to pay on time next year, and this will be a lesson to everyone else. That's kind of how I would look at this. That's the only way that you can do it at this point.
With you on that. I don't think if they don't pay by the time the playoffs start, and you already forfeited. We're not gonna wait to see if you make it to the championship game. So
start three: AJ Brown, Ladd McConkey, Zay Flowers, or Shakur Buffalo.
The first three.
I actually like Shakur over Flowers. Flowers haven't been getting much love as of late, and especially if you're looking at a PPR type of a situation, Shakur's been getting a little bit more love. I want to say he may have more touchdowns on the season than Flowers, if I'm not mistaken. It's pretty close for those two, but AJ Brown and Ladd McConkey for sure.
Yeah, but who Baltimore plays?
Baltimore will be going up against Pittsburgh this week.
Yeah.
And it's in Baltimore.
Yeah. So Wells.
Okay. Okay. Having trouble with who to start this week. I'm up 40 and just want to be safe. Thoughts on who I should start? I need to know what your options are, because right now I'm only seeing your starting lineup here and not what the other options are. Let me see if I'm missing something here. Yeah, unfortunately, all you posted as far as the pitcher was concerned was the people that you have currently in your lineup and not what your other options are. So unfortunately, Chris, we won't be able to answer your question. When you hear this, reach back out to us and give us what the other options were, and we'll be able to help you out then. Do we think Baker plays this week?
Yes.
Don't get nervous. He's playing this week. And he has to play this week because his team's playoff chances are kind of in the balance here. So let's see. There's a couple of them. Kyler Murray versus Carolina or Baker Mayfield versus the Cowboys? Who you got?
Give me Baker.
I'm standing in the flames with Baker. He's done his thing all year. No reason to backtrack on that now. Sit one, Tyreek versus the Niners, Scary Terry versus the Eagles, Jennings versus the Dolphins. Sit one.
I'm going to sit Jennings.
Okay. Yeah, that's what my mom was leading into.
I really don't like Terry McLaurin's matchup. The Eagles has been really good at the secondary. But Jen is probably going to see a lot of Jalen Ramsey. So there we
go. I actually like the matchup. Let me rephrase that. I only like the matchup because of the receiver and he only needs to get behind the cornerback once to make your fantasy week. So Scary Terry is now where he should have always been fantasy-wise throughout his career, now that he has a competent quarterback. One pass play can put you in the teens as far as points are concerned in the PPR, as far as that's concerned. So lastly, this is a real good problem to have. Sit one, Puka Nacua, Amon-Ra St. Brown, T. Higgins. For me, it feels a little bit easier than it apparently is for this particular listener.
I'll probably have to sit Higgins.
Yeah, that's an easy one for me. I'm sitting Higgins. Actually, one last question. I do apologize here. Is Jerry Jeudy still a start with Winston being benched for Thompson?
I don't think he is.
No. I don't think anybody's a start in Cleveland, to be honest with you.
I don't like any of their skill guys at this point. And one thing about Winston, yeah, he makes a lot of mistakes.
He put up a lot of yards, too.
Eric throws, but you take the good with the bad with him. He's, you know what I'm saying? And that usually feeds families when it comes to fantasy football. So, yeah, he may lose you the real football game. He may turn the ball over 3-4 times, but he threw for 400 yards and a couple scores in that. So,
and let me sneak this defensive question in as well for you right quick. You have Green Bay, who I believe may be the number one defense points-wise, not yards allowed-wise. You have Indy going up against Tennessee, who is the worst as far as scoring is concerned, and they just swapped out their quarterback. But then you also have Cincinnati going up against Cleveland, who also just swapped out their quarterback, and they just lost Nick Chubb. They don't really have any receivers. Which defense do you think ends up being the best for fantasy?
Probably Green Bay. Because, I mean, they have the
New Orleans just going up against a new quarterback, too.
Right. And they have the better defense. Cincinnati, yeah, defense is horrible. I mean, yeah, they're playing against a team that's with a quarterback, cause, you know, whatever. But so is Green Bay, right? They're playing against a backup quarterback as well. And they have the better defense. So I'm going to say Green Bay for me.
And that about wraps it up. Unless you had any DMs or anything from anybody that was asking any questions that we wanted to get on air, I believe I've gotten through all the ones for this week. Actually, didn't know that there's a tight end, Freiermuth or Schultz this week.
I mean, going off the top of my head, I probably like Freiermuth.
Especially if Pickens don't go. Have we heard anything about Alvin Kamara at all?
I haven't, as far as I'm playing on that.
I haven't seen that he's doubtful or anything like that, but a few people have asked about his availability this week, so I'm just putting it out there. I don't even recall seeing anything as far as injury status is concerned. I'm going back through the running backs right quick to see if I see anything, if I may have overlooked Kamara at all, but I don't see anything on him. So I would imagine that if there is an injury, it's not that significant. Okay, hold on. He's nursing an abductor injury. So it's like abductor / growing type of an injury.
And they played against Green Bay.
Out of the game in week 15, so that's where the concern is coming from. But there's no official word on what his prognosis is looking like going into this week. So I can definitely see how those that have been riding that hot hand all year may be a little bit more concerned. And that definitely makes Green Bay the best defense to play if Kamara's not going. Yeah, we'll have to stay abreast of that. And We'll put out information as it comes on the Facebook group. If you are a Kamara owner, or if you may happen to be going up against him and you just want to know that information. But that pretty much wraps it up, unless you got anything else that you want to add, man.
No, I'm good.
All right. So make sure you check out the show on tomorrow. Again, next week, we will not be available to you. We will get back with you on that following week. And we may be at that point in time going down to one or two shows. Fantasy will have kind of run its course other than Dynasty for this year. So we'll still get your fantasy information out there. But just make sure that you go ahead and subscribe and follow. So whenever we produce new shows, you will be the first to know. And you can go ahead and catch up on whatever you have missed. Again, you can follow us on YouTube at The Gospel STP. And again, on Facebook at The Gospel Sports Truth Facebook group. For this evening, that wraps it up. We out. And remember, always tell the truth and nothing but the truth. Y'all be good. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.